Bob Outdoors. 3 hours of the best hunting and fishing Minnesota has to offer. Mark Fisher and Larry Bowling take your calls for bear facts and fish tales from 7 to 9. And starting things off, the stories from the four outdoorsmen on Bob Outdoors.
Skol Vikings, let's win this game. Skol Vikings, honor your name.
What the hell is that? Whose idea?
That's called a Viking victory. Happy Sunday evening to the land of 10,000 lakes. Strew, you like that song.
I love that song.
I like that song. Brian likes that song.
I'm in charge of this.
Hold on. Brandon likes that song. Producer Mark.
My wife likes that song.
we've got a cheesehead across the table. Mark Lukey's there. Strew Man here, the four outdoorsmen. Hey, I'll tell you what, that's a good... Who planned that? That's pretty smart.
I planned that, but I think Mark could see something was going on because I was dancing in there with Brandon, our awesome engineer, and I was all excited about it, and I thought I'd be all sneaky, and then I could see Lukey just kind of peeking over at me.
I know how much that bugs Strew, because he always gets mad when you change it up, and I could see you mischievously looking over here like, he's planning something.
What a great day, huh?
Hey, I'll tell you what. Vikings.
The
biggest reason I'm glad the Vikings won is because my beautiful wife, Diane and I, all the time buy numbers tickets against the law. All right, we're gambling. And we buy a cumulative board that covers all 13 Vikings games or 16 Vikings games, and the numbers keep changing. Well, the number we had today was 4-6.
How much
really?
Did you win?
$100.
You won $100?
So that paid for our two tickets. The rest of the season is on
maybe
my bookie.
Maybe Tim Walz wants to legalize that. You should ask him.
Well, speaking of Tim Walz, let's give a big shout out and welcome to everyone tuning in to the Four Outdoorsmen Sunday night, Bob Country, 106.1 in the Twin Cities, 105.5 near St. Cloud, and 107.5 down by Rochester. Boomer here. Wild Card just started things off for us. Producer Mark is to our left, and he'll be getting out of studio probably at about 6:59 because the Packers play.
Oh, yeah.
So he'll be making short work of the end of this show, but what a great day.
But I'll tell you what, I bet I can convince Mark Lukey to go with me for about an hour, hour and a half after the show, because I left the Twins game. I worked the Twins game today.
I couldn't tell by your Twins guest service
shirt. Yeah, and they won with a walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth, which was cool.
Wow.
And the game was only about 2 hours and 30 minutes, which gave me a chance to get here. But I snuck over to Acapulco and had a beer and prepared for the show tonight, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, Acapulco, right across the road. Half price margaritas I'll buy all night long if you want to come with.
What?
We're gonna watch the Packer game.
I have a 5-year-old Packer fan that's gonna be pacing around waiting for me to get
way
home.
To make him the worst dad of the year, Strew.
No, you're in.
You're really buying?
I'm buying.
I'm in.
All right.
All right. Well, let's shift gears a little bit.
Crappy
and talk
father
about
is he.
Outdoors. We got a great show for you tonight. Pheasant outlook numbers are out all over the board for the Midwest. During the fair broadcast, we talked about South Dakota numbers, Iowa numbers. The roadside counts just came out for the land of 10,000 lakes here in Minnesota. And friend of the show and marketing PR vice president guru, Jared Wickland, is going to be calling in. That's going to be at around 6:40. And we're going to talk about pheasant hunting and the outlook and what that means for us in Minnesota, or if we're traveling to South Dakota or Iowa or North Dakota. But before that, at around 6:18 to 6:19, we're going to continue our journey of asking the governor candidates to come on our show and talk about hunting and fishing issues
so
in the state of Minnesota.
So we're going to have Tim Walz on for 1 minute from 6:18 to 6:19.
If he stays with us that long. No, it's going to be good. We got some good questions for him. Last Sunday down at the fair, we had Jeff Johnson on, which we had some great questions for him. Jeff Johnson was probably the most candid and transparent position I've ever seen on Mille Lacs.
I was impressed.
In my life.
I was impressed.
I mean, for him to just come out there and not go, well, we got to negotiate. You know, he said it as how he saw it.
Hey, speaking of fishing.
Co-management isn't working. And he said we need to negotiate better to save the walleye.
I'm looking forward to both Tim Walz and Jared Wickland. But speaking of fishing, you fished a couple of days ago last week with Lindsey Hayes.
A couple things this last week. So I had
Tell
the
us.
I had a newer Alumacraft out, a Competitor 185. It's not the 205 that I usually run around with, the Shadow Series. A Competitor 185 that had a new 150 Evinrude G2 on it.
It's all you need, E-Tech, pal. Right? It's all you need.
Got that boat up to about 47 miles an hour. It was a new paint scheme. It was cool. You know, the Evinrude motor matched the paint color of the Alumacraft. And then Alumacraft came out with some new, like, tan beige interior with some new vinyl options that are really classy and really cool looking. Excited to see those coming down the pipeline in the factory. But with that being said, Alumacraft also partners with Made for the Outdoors, which is part of the umbrella of Ron Scherer Productions.
We know how that, did they ever get hooked up with them?
Go, Mookie, you're gonna win. And tell our listeners, Mark, because you can describe it much better, because it took Strew and I 3 years just not to butcher the name of Made for the Outdoors, let alone
speak about it.
Yo said
Made in Minnesota. No. Yeah. The show is called Made for the Outdoors. It is on Fox Sports North in Wisconsin, which airs in five states, Minnesota, Wisconsin, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Iowa. It's a show where we go into the factory and show how our favorite outdoors products are made. So, you know, we all love hunting, fishing, but we thought it'd be cool to actually go to a factory and show how that Alumacraft is made, show the people that make it, a little story behind the company. And the show's been really successful. It's in its fourth year this year, and it was so successful it got picked up to run nationally on Sportsman's Channel in the spring. So if you miss any episodes this fall or don't have Fox Sports, you can watch it on Sportsman's Channel in the spring.
I think it's my, of all the, honestly, God, of all the, well, Minnesota Bound is wonderful, of course. Bill Shurik and Laura took that over from Ron, but out of the all the other shows that Ron Scherer Productions has, Made for the Outdoors, is that what it's called, right?
Yeah.
Is by far my favorite. It's cool. I love going in behind the scenes and watching these. You see the, I mean, one of these guys still hand makes these canoes, and how do you hand make a canoe and bend the wood and lacquer it, and how do you do this without making, having any leaks? Beautiful stuff. It's
people,
fun to watch.
The people are fascinating. Yeah. So many of them dropped everything they did to follow a passion.
Yeah.
And I just love the story behind the people. A lot of people start in their garage, things like that. So I really enjoy that show as well.
How about,
you know,
the one with
there's
the,
so many hunting
well,
and fishing shows
Well, let's get back to
there.
The Alumacraft show real quick here.
Come on, now.
Man. You're going to go on all these shows. So had the opportunity to join Lindsay because we wanted to get a boat on the water. So we're with the camera guy named Pete. He was really great. We went down to Minnetonka. And we spent about 3-4 hours filming just some different action shots, lifestyle shots. And then Lindsay did some raps, you know, like talking about, you know, where the live wells are at. And then let's see how they're made down in the factory. And she looked at me and she said, all right, we got about 15 to 30 minutes to get a fish on film. And she goes, at least for me, fish are camera shy. And Lindsay can fish, all right?
She is a
farm girl. I mean, she tells you she's a farm girl. She is definitely a farm girl. And so we went with some open face rods and used some spinner baits because you can cover a lot of water, and really focused on weed lines. And the water was really green and murky. But on spot number 3 that we hit, and we hit each spot for about 5-10 minutes, she pulled in a 3-pound largemouth bass, and we got it
on film.
Yeah,
it looked great.
That was awesome. And then I took the two kids down yesterday down to Duck Lake Park. That's in Madison Lake, Minnesota, down south. And the Alumacraft Company picnic was going on there. So I got to hang out with our friend Bruce and James and some other Alumacraft A-team. And we did some test rides. And they had a cotton candy machine, which the kids figured out how to use really quickly. 3 times did they hit it.
Wow. Yikes.
And 2 Hawaiian shaved ice.
Did you have to prime off the roof of the car on the way home?
They were fairly wired on the way home. And then Nicole had a fishing tournament in La Crosse and caught a nice largie and a smallmouth. So we finally got her home. And then we barbecued on the Traeger today.
Well, how nice to have a nice day today, have the entire family spend a couple of hours out there when you're cooking, right?
Yeah.
Is that what happened with you?
Well, they spent some time in the general vicinity of me, Strew, while I was cooking, but I made wings on the Traeger, hot dogs on the Traeger, and brought them inside. I was all excited. My favorite, and they don't sponsor the show, Frank's Red Hot Sauce.
If I were Traeger, I wouldn't sponsor the show either, because you keep giving them love for free.
Well, do you like Frank's Red Hot Sauce?
Doesn't make any sense to me.
Do you like
me.
Frank's Red Hot Sauce?
Warm sauce. I'm not a hot sauce guy.
And blue cheese.
I like sriracha
better. Oh, sriracha? Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah. But that was the week, so got a big project. I'm going to be headed down to Missouri on Friday, coming home on Sunday. And I'll be able to tell you guys more about that because it's kind of this top secret little project that we're working on, but it might involve ducks.
Mark, what do you do, pal?
Oh, I was going to talk about our Four Outdoorsmen shout out. We have a whole stack of them here, and we get talking about... when we get talking, we usually don't leave a lot of time because we like to talk. So I'm going to run through that right now. Again, if you have a Four Outdoorsmen shout out, go to the Four Outdoorsmen Facebook page. That's the number Four Outdoorsmen. And leave a comment and we'll mention it on air. We have a lot of the great usual suspects that write in. Shannon Cruz had a great Sunday. Nice walleye there. Matt Quick says today's Matt Quick Outdoors Guide Service trip was slamming success. The bite's turning on, and you can just feel that. The air's getting cooler. It feels like the big fish are going to start biting.
You saw the photographs of my son, Mike. We'll talk about that for a second,
What a great time of year to start fishing. The Zeiss family says hello from the Big Pond, a.k.a. the Dead Sea. I love that one. Dakota caught the biggest of the weekend, a 21-incher.
Way to go, Dakota.
A bunch of eyes and a bonus small eye. Kiddos had a blast. Corey says, check out What's Working Now Facebook page. He's got some monster crappies. Another great time of year to fish for crappies. My favorite post of the week is Ben Poissant said his six-month-old lab got his first goose.
Oh, that's
out
cool.
Of a 15-bird limit yesterday. Has a great picture of, I think the dog's name is Finny Boy. That's kind of a cool name. And Jake Busson, a 10-year-old from Isanti, caught a beautiful bass there. There's a picture on our Facebook page. So thank you, everyone, that wrote in, and thank you, everyone, for listening.
Go ahead, Boom.
I was just going to say, with all of those fishing pictures and duck hunting pictures coming in, it just kind of reminds me what a special time fall is for people that love the outdoors in our state. Fish right now are chasing the bait fish, the minnows, the shads, the creek chubs. They got their fall feed bag on. Goose hunting is underway. Waterfowl duck hunting is soon after that. Then we got bow season, pheasant season, grouse season, rifle season.
I believe it was kids' weekend this weekend as well.
Was it?
I think it was, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you could take a kid without a license. And
that's cool.
And they could shoot ducks, too, ducks early. So
you're talking about the fishing thing. And my son, Mike, a shout-out to my son, Mike, and his buddy, Matt. They went up to the Polish Palace on Lake Vermilion, and they slayed them yesterday, all 14 to 18. They said they caught about 30. You can only keep on
walleyes.
Yeah, all walleyes. Nothing big, but all really nice in the slot. And then they snuck up to Lake of the Woods today, and within the first hour, they had a 25, a 28, a 23, and a 19, and they had some keepers as well in the first 3 hours. So Lake of the Woods apparently is doing what it's supposed to be doing. And good for you, Mike, and good for you, Matt.
Well, even with that, Stru, when you think about the time of year to catch big fish, spring for spawning fish, right? And then they go post-spawn. So usually in that later summer period, fish are a little smaller. And then when you get into early fall and mid-fall, that's where you see the big smallmouth and Mille Lacs that are tipping the 7 pounds, right? The walleyes that are scaling over 12 to 13 pounds. So Mike is a great angler, but he is getting to flirt with the first part of fall where those walleyes are getting a big chew bag on and they're getting more aggressive and they're fat and they're healthy and fun to catch.
I'm a little concerned about him because he's got that brand new Alumacraft 205 as well. And he went from Vermilion to Hunting Shack to Lake of the Woods for the day. I says, you know, don't forget you got a job, pal. Don't make sure.
Yeah, I got my basement to finish.
Yeah, make sure you
come on back home.
Make sure you come home, buddy.
Yeah. I tell you what, one of the things I do love about fishing with Mike is he's so prepared. Everyone out there listening, Four Outdoorsmen, Bob Country, we've got a great show tonight. We're talking pheasant hunting, outlook numbers, roadside counts with PR director Jared Wicklund at 6:40. And then at 6:18, we're continuing down the path of interviewing our potential next governor. We had Jeff Johnson, Republican, on last Sunday. This Sunday, we have Tim Walz on, the Democrat. But with that being said, one of the things I love about Mike, and everyone has this in the party, the guy or the girl that's organized, Mike has the greatest snacks when you fish with him. I mean, he knows how to fish, but
well, that's because of his wife, not him.
But, I mean, he had like little meat and cheese bags, and then he grilled brats out on the Alumacraft when you guys were golfing when we did the promo.
I would not grill brats on my new boat, by the way.
Yeah.
I just would not.
You know what? He didn't mess up a thing. I couldn't believe it.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Since Tim Walz is going to be calling in about 6:18, maybe we should take our break right now so when he does call in, we do not have to have him wait while we're doing a commercial.
No.
You don't like that idea?
I don't like that idea.
We don't like that idea because
we
have
the formula
time
halfway through.
To to talk about the great sponsors that we've had that help us talk about hunting and fishing. Because, guys, let's say it. Thank you to all our 3,000 Facebook fans out there, all our new followers on Instagram for the Four Outdoorsmen, and all of our great sponsors that help us talk about hunting and fishing for the last 5 years. Devil's Lake, North Dakota, our buddy Tanner. We're going to have him on the show because he's out in the Black Hills mule deer hunting right now.
I saw some of the photographs.
We
got to
schedule our time for a cast and blast, too.
Yeah, we got to get out there
that's the one bad thing about the fall. It fills up so quickly with so much to do.
I've got 3 weeks already planned in October, so you guys better pick that out real quick.
We'll get that scheduled for Devil's Lake, but that fall feed bag is starting to get going. Alumacraft Boats, they've been a part of my family for the last 5-plus years. I run that 205 competitor, a dry ride, amazing storage, and can handle the big water, the Lake of Woods, the Devil's Lake, the Mille Lacs of the world. And then Deadshot Custom Calls.
There you go. That's
this
the
is
one,
a
yeah.
great duck call company where it's not just a piece of equipment that you put on the shelf because it's a picture of you or ashes of your dog or something of a memento. But the call itself works really amazing. Deadshot Custom
this
Calls.
This is how much I like Deadshot Custom Calls. We got a couple calls for free, which was a great, great present. I actually called him and ordered one for a friend for saying thank you for taking me out hunting. So I actually called him and I'm paying for it. That's how good they are. I'm actually paying. We never pay for anything in
the
outdoors.
I'm ordering one as well. And
all right, it's true.
Well, we got Lace Trading Company. We're talking about Deadshot Custom Calls.
Yep.
If someone takes their Deadshot Custom Call, they should be wearing Wildfowler outdoor camo and whatnot. The hunting clothes, I'm telling you, it's wonderful clothing. Wildfowler is right in the Twin Cities. I think Egan, if I'm correct.
Yes.
And then these folks should take their weapons and go with their rifles and shotguns and go to Lake's Trading Company. Have them tuned up. Lake's Trading Company, the best gun shop in the Twin Cities.
Well, I know I'll probably be going to Lake's Trading Company because I believe on October 3rd, to benefit the Reach program, go to bobcountry.com. Four Outdoorsmen will be out there doing some pheasant hunting. And if you want to raise money for a great organization, Reach for Minnesota, I believe it helps employ people, gives them further education. Come on out and hunt with us. We did that a couple years ago, and that was a blast. So, Marky, we know that Strew did the Twins game. We know that I was at the Alumacraft picnic and also fishing with Lindsay on Minnetonka for Made for the Outdoors. Anything fun in your world the last week?
Man, I had soccer. I had birthday parties. Yeah. I had everything you do when you have three little kids
fantasy
in the fall.
Fantasy football meeting.
I had fantasy football drafts.
Priorities, right?
I haven't been able to get I got an invite to go goose hunting this morning, but my wife had to volunteer in church, so I had to watch the kids. So all these things are keeping me from getting outside, and I don't like it.
Well, in addition, hang on a second. In addition to, I've got to do a shout out to Bob Total Country here because Neil and the boys helped me with my emceeing job at St. Jude's Corn Fest, the church we belong to in Matamita. I had a big, big, big festival, and we donated a bunch of Bob T-shirts and hats and all of that to. It just went really, really well. So thanks to Bob Total Country for that.
And I want to give a thank you again. So we've been involved in a lot of the openers for Minnesota Outdoors and Sports. So thank you again, Governor Dayton. We're looking at our invite to attend the Minnesota Governor's Pheasant Hunting Opener on Friday, Saturday, October 12th and 13th in Laverne. And speaking of governors, who's going to be joining us next after break?
It could very well be the next governor, Tim Walz. He's the Democrat who's running for governor of the state of Minnesota. That'll be interesting because we had Jeff Johnson on last week.
Right? All right, stay tuned after break.
Checking in with the Four Outdoorsmen. Find them at mybobcountry.com under the weekend tab.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
'Tis the season, my friends, so make sure you guys are ready. Lakes Trading Company not only sells and buys new and used guns, they offer on-site gunsmithing. Hit the lever action on my 3030 was giving me problems, and Lakes Trading Company gave it back to me better than new. They buy, they sell, they trade, offer consignment, provide ammo, scopes, accessories, training, conceal and carry classes. Man, Lakes Trading Company is the premier firearm destination in the Twin Cities. I'll tell you, they're great people, too. Check them out. Go to lakestradingco.com.
Deadshot Custom Call Company is the only duck call trusted and used by the four outdoorsmen. Deadshot Custom Calls are handmade in Minnesota and not available in stores because each call has a direct connection to you. Immortalize your hunting dog with the Man's Best Friend series, or have a custom image or theme made just for you, whether on your lanyard or on your wall. Deadshot Custom Calls are made from the finest acrylics to last for generations. Customize your call at DeadshotCustomCalls.com. Don't miss Wynonna and the Big Noise with hits like No One Else on Earth and Mama, He's Crazy, with special guest David Lee Murphy and number one hit Everything's Gonna Be All Right, live at Treasure Island Resort and Casino November 9th. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com.
Reach for Resources is a nonprofit organization that supports children and adults with developmental disabilities and mental illness by offering adaptive recreation activities and services for mental health, independent living, inclusion, parenting, employment, and case management. Know that you have a choice of Hennepin County service providers. Reach for Resources can be recommended for case management, mental health, and independent living support. Reach your full potential with Reach for Resources and visit reachforresources.org to learn more. Reachforresources.org.
The Home Depot has very good news for your lawn. It's called Scott's Thicker Lawn, and right now, it's starting at $19.98 a bag. Thicker Lawn is a 3-in-1 mixture of seed, fertilizer, and soil improver, perfectly formulated for thicker grass and happier lawn owners. So spread the word and get up to a 50% thicker lawn after just one application. Scott's Thicker Lawn, starting at $19.98 a bag, and it's now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Selection varies by store.
Duralast batteries are proven tough to perform in temperatures of 140 degrees and 40 below zero. Because when you can start in extreme conditions, you can start in everyday conditions. Like running late for work, a broken alarm, creepy parking spots. Duralast, proven tough and only at AutoZone. Visit any of our 5,000 locations nationwide and let's get you what you need.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
All right, welcome back to the Four Outdoorsmen gang. Thanks. We got Strewman here, Boomer. Mark Lukey is here, and I believe the Democratic governor, sort of, hopefully, Tim Walz is on the other line. Tim, are you there, sir?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thanks for being on the air. I'll tell you what, Tim, this is a thrill for us. We always have a lot of great hunters and fishermen and TV personalities and ones, but to come to someone with your level of expertise in politics and potentially being the governor of Minnesota for the next couple of years, it really is a thrill for us as well. So thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen.
Oh, no, it's an honor. I want to hear. I'm already excited. I heard you talking about the opener coming up here in October. I can't wait.
Well, I'm going to tell you, we can as well. We're going to ask you a lot of hard questions here, but here's something about Tim
Walz's
background.
Hold on, before you do all the talk. Hey, Tim, this is Boomer here, so if you hear my voice, I'm the kind of the fishing, hunting guy that does a lot of stuff in the field, and so does my buddy on the left, Producer Mark, and we refer to him as Producer Mark because he put us all together about 5 years ago.
I don't say much, Tim, but... Thank you very much for being on. I kind of arranged it, and I do appreciate it. I think, you know, as outdoorsmen, it's important to know where a candidate stands. So thank you so much for being on, and let's begin. You want to give a little background?
Well, I want to
background.
Not that Tim Walz needs it, but I want to build up his ego a little bit. He's in the House of Representatives since 2006, Nebraska Citizen Soldier of the Year, highest-ranking enlisted service member ever in Congress, retired as commander. Sergeant Major, teacher, football coach, 1993 Outstanding Young Nebraskan, 2000 Mankato Teacher of the Year, 2004. Man, you got one hell of a career. How, like these guys said, how did you get into politics in the first place?
Well, I think, and again, thanks for having me on. Sure. More accidental than anything. I certainly never planned my life to do this, but I think, like so many of us, it sometimes feels like nobody was listening. So I was kind of minding my own business and teaching school and coaching football. And some folks said, you know, maybe you should give this a try. And the next thing I know, I was in Congress. But it's encouraging to me that in Minnesota, that's still available. You don't have to have a lot of money. You don't have to have name. And you don't have to come from a family of elected officials, that your neighbors just want somebody they trust, I guess.
Well, Tim, thanks. Boomer here again. We're going to ask you, and thanks again for being on our show, a few questions, because we did have the candidate, Jeff Johnson, that you're running against on the show last Sunday at the fair, and we asked him very similar questions. And so we've got about another 16 minutes to have you on. One question I have is a hot button in the outdoors right now, Tim, is Mille Lacs. It's a big tourist draw for us. A lot of us that buy a fishing license have been going up there since we've been kids. And there's a lot of small businesses that are struggling up there because you can't keep a fish or a walleye. Do you have any thoughts on the Mille Lacs issue?
Well, I do, and it is a problem. I hear this one quite often because Mille Lacs is a jewel. I mean, we're blessed with our outdoors. For those of us like myself who grew up hunting and fishing, it's far more than just a pastime. It kind of defines a lot of family memories. It defines how we see the world. And the issue with the lake up there, the lake's not healthy right now. With zebra mussels, the water's too clean. We've got, and I think we're going to have to address this issue, we've got changing temperatures, climates as they're starting to change. And then we're going to have to figure out that there's a responsibility to build a coalition up there. We've got a sovereign nation in Mille Lacs that has laws, and the Supreme Court certainly upheld that, that we need to work hand in hand to make sure that we can make that a healthy lake, make sure there's plenty of opportunities, both for outdoorsmen, and I'm hearing you loud and clear about these resort and these guides and some of the businesses up there that are dependent on that lake. But this is why we need to make sure that we're leaning into some of the science on what it's going to take to clear these lakes up. This continuous assault by invasive species, whether it's Asian carp or zebra mussel or numerous others, we got to get on the front end of that, because there are real long-term both environmental and economic implications for not doing it. And so I think as governor of Minnesota, I see my responsibility, should I be given that privilege, convene that conversation in a way and lean into it and start to figure out what the science is saying about how to bring that lake back to its full health.
Tim, I'll tell you what, we have a lot of people send in texts, and someone just sent a text to me to ask you this question. He said, there's a movement in our state and across the country from legislators to public lands.
That's my text.
No,
true.
I got to tell you, that's also mine. The idea of public lands is uniquely Minnesotans, from pheasant country to deer country, now our precious BWCA. Where do you stand about with the CRP expansion and acquisition of land in Minnesota by the government and by the DNR?
Yeah, well, I have to tell you, this is something I knew. I grew up on a place where, my mom still owns the farm that's been in our family 131 years.
Wow.
Piece of land for 10 miles. We could take our shotguns to school, go hunting after football, and not have to ask permission for 10 miles. Access now is a real issue for people. And this ability to create more access for people, the smart programs of working lands conservation like CSP, but there's certainly a role for the expansion and making sure we keep CRP out there, taking marginal lands out of production, and then making sure we're creating habitat. So I fall into this category that when we have public lands, whether they be federal national parks or whether they be walk-in access for hunting, those enhance all of us. And you work hand in hand with landowners. You make sure that we're not, that people are fairly compensated when we make these decisions, that the rates on CRP are fair for people. But I do support making sure that we have places to hunt, we have places to get out into the great outdoors, and we do this, striking that balance between, agricultural production land, forest lands, that still need to get people in there, because it's a problem. And, you try and leave Mankato, where are you going to go hunt? How are you going to get in? And that's keeping folks off the land.
How about this? You got something?
Yeah, I do. It's true. You sneaky took my question. We have a lot of fun on the show too, Tim, but there's a lot of great federal programs that are out there that provide clean water and more hunting land. I know in Minnesota, we have Lesser Sams, which is that organization that works together to find money. How do you see your involvement with that type of organization?
Well, I believe in it too. And I believe that we shouldn't be taking those funds to use for anything else. I think Minnesotans understand that our legacy is an incredible heritage of outdoor lands, an incredible heritage of hunting, fishing, hiking, other activities. And the Lesard Sam's Council gets, citizen involvement. I think the governor's role is to take their suggestions, to take their plans and move forward, but to make sure that, you know, there's been proposals to dip into that fund for other things. And that was not the intent of it. Minnesotans did something with the legacy amendment very unusual. They proactively went to the polls and said, we want to protect this, and we're willing to give some of our tax dollars to do that. And I think my role as governor is to promote what Minnesotans want in that, to understand that this isn't just a legacy of environmentalism. This is a big economic impact for Minnesota when we do this right. And I think all Minnesotans should be really proud of what we've done there. And I think if there's more ways to clean that water, there's more ways to make sure that there's habitat restoration, working hand-in-hand with those producers to make sure that we're not creating what I think we do in politics way too often. We create winners and losers when there's no reason to. We can have win-wins.
All right, Tim, I was going to ask you this question later on, but since you brought up economic impact in the state of Minnesota, what's your feeling about Twin Metals mining? I know Trump has kind of changed the tune a little bit and is making it more possible and probable that it might happen. Where do you stand with Twin Metals mining and mining up in the northern Minnesota area by the boundary waters?
Well, I disagree with going around a system. I believe you have to keep a system in place. You have to follow the science. I think we're certainly proud that Minnesotans have built this country through mining, but copper nickel mining is a new animal. I've said all along that you have to have stringent environmental protections. You have to make sure the permitting process and liability funds are there. I think what the situation on Twin Metals is that if we're going to even look at doing these things near a body of water, bodies of water, like the boundary waters, we need to make sure that every single study has been done. And I know this is folks who are pro-mining. They live there. They don't want these waters to be polluted. So I'm just a little concerned of we see a movement to maybe go around the process instead of saying, let's see if we can do this. If anybody can do it, it's Minnesotans, to follow the science, follow the permitting, follow the environmental review. But we can't get this wrong. Just not environmentally and economically, we can't make a pick of winners and losers and have an incident that causes decades long of problems. That has to be done right. So I'm a little bit concerned that the administration went around rather than continuing to do the environmental reviews as they need to be done.
I understand what you're talking about there. And okay, based on what you know right now, short answer, real quick short answer, if you could make the decision right now as to whether they continued or stopped, which one would it be?
On Twin Metals?
Yep.
I would require the environmental impact statements to be done. That's not to say we can't do it, but I would ask for the most stringent. If you are pro-mining and listening right now, you should, and I know you do, want this to be as safe as possible.
Absolutely.
And not doing the full environmental review is not the way to go.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
Fair answer. All right. We're going to take a step back before producer Mark has a question real quick for you. Tim, give us a one-minute quick overview. What kind of outdoors does Mr. Tim Walz like to do?
I'm a big pheasant hunter. I'm pretty sure that 2 years ago up at Granite Falls when Governor Dayton was posted up at the end of the field and I was walking and I shot those two roosters and he didn't see one. That's probably why he didn't endorse me. I like to pheasant hunt. I do a lot of trap shooting. I belong to a caribou gun club down in Le Sueur. I fish, but poorly. And when I was a younger man, I did turkey hunting with my brother, and I haven't recently. And I've told some folks, should I be given the honor and the privilege of being Minnesota's next governor, we're going to have a turkey opener.
Yes, we definitely need that because that is one of our fastest growing sports up here.
I agree.
It's a very good sport, Tim, that gets kids involved because it's very engaging.
Oh, yeah.
I bet my boss, Ron Shera, would like to go turkey hunting with you. That's his real passion, so... I'm sure he'd be down for that as well.
Well, let's make that happen. I get out. I don't get out as much as I should, but I can tell you there's a wealth of opportunity in Minnesota. And I you guys know this. I love seeing young people get involved in the sport because some of the fondest memories I have with my father and my brothers was in the field on those crisp October, November mornings.
Yep. That's great, Tim. Well, I have a quick question. You state on your website that you are a believer in a Second Amendment, and I know that's important for a lot of us hunters out there, and you're a hunter yourself. But you did say that you support an assault weapons ban. Can you just go into further? What kind of is an assault weapon to you? And if you had the choice, would it be something where you limit the buy, or are you thinking of making it illegal to own? Or can you just kind of go through that a little bit for some of us gun owners?
Certainly not making any changes to people who own these things. And I say this because I have grown up, and again, in a world where I could take my shotgun to school when I was growing up. You know, if you're of a certain age, you remember this. That world's different now. And for whatever reason, these shootings that continue to happen, that we're going to have to, and I think as a responsible gun owner, I am perfectly fine doing a background check, making sure someone who shouldn't have these things.
I think most of us are on both sides of the aisle, really.
And I think the issue when it comes to, and again, being in the military for 24 years, a weapon designed with either a collapsible stock or, you know, some of the modifications with bump stocks to these. Because I know when people talk about these, about semi-automatics or assault weapons, my Beretta that I use to trap shoot semi-automatic. Yeah. And I'm certainly not talking about that. I think it's, and I've come up with the full belief that we can strike this balance. And I'm just concerned with the flood of the market of these really cheap, you know, sub $400 AR knockoffs or whatever, selling them to folks who don't know what they're doing, it creates an opportunity to cause some of these mass casualty situations.
Well, I do appreciate that you do understand, the difference between full and semi. I think there's a lot of misinformation out there, sometimes on the left, where I do appreciate that you actually understand how these guns work with your military background and that there isn't misinformation. I mean, I certainly understand that.
Talk about this striking that balance, you know, as responsible gun owners? Because what I tell people is, folks out in greater Minnesota, you know, gun owners like ourselves, we're not necessarily concerned people are going to take our weapons, but I think there's this sense of every time there's one of these shootings, they feel like they're blaming gun owners. And you kind of get your hackles up, and it sometimes comes from people who you know have never fired. Have never been in the field.
Right.
And so I say, I think us as responsible gun owners need to lead the charge on this to say, you know, the time is right to do a background check on these. And I'm not, I have a shotgun in my basement, an old, you know, Winchester Model 24 that was my wife's grandfather's. We're not talking about that. We're, you know, we do all those transfers all the time. We're just talking some of the others that do the background check on somebody who you don't know who's buying a weapon. And see if they're legal. And I don't pretend that that's going to stop everything, but I think we have a responsibility to just make sure there's some type of tracking.
Hey, Tim, Boomer here again, and thanks again for tackling those subjects, because some of those questions aren't the easiest to answer, and I know that those are subjects that really come up in outdoor conversations a lot. But to be fair, with that being said, we gave Governor candidate Jeff Johnson a couple minutes at the end of the interview to kind of make his spiel to our listeners about why he would be the right fit. So we'd like to give you the next 2 minutes to kind of take the stage and take the airwaves and spend 2 minutes talking about why an outdoors man or woman should vote for you.
Yeah, no, and I thank you for that. I think these all or nothing questions. I oftentimes don't worry about people taking your guns. It's worry about taking habitat. But I think one of the reasons I would tell people is I grew up doing this. I grew up in a small farming community with 24 classmates, 12 were cousins. I've been around this my whole life. I've led on issues both, whether it be in the classroom, in uniform, or in the United States Congress. And I believe deeply that we have far more in common in this state than we have differences. The idea that we're one Minnesota around, and I reject the false choices that it's one or the other, that we can do economic activities while protecting our habitat. We can make sure we keep our children safe while still protecting your Second Amendment rights. And that happens when we sit down, we talk together, and we find common solutions. And so by representing Southern Minnesota for 12 years in Congress, those folks down there don't have to guess what type of governor I'll be. I'm engaged. I listen to the issues. I'm willing to understand that I certainly don't have all the answers, but I think there's a Minnesota out there that doesn't have to be small, divided, divisive, and that we can tackle some of these issues together. We can tackle the issues as climate change starts to come forward, but in a way that protects these great resources. So if I'm given that privilege, I think folks know I'll be there. And I tell them for 3 years in a row, I was the Democrats' top gun in the congressional sports shoot. So I still can shoot some too.
Wow, that a boy. He's a hell of a football coach, too.
Well, I tell you what, for our listeners on the Four Outdoorsmen, Bob Country, Boomer here, we just had Governor candidate Tim Wells on talking about some things that we see coming down the pipeline. Tim, like we said to Jeff, we wish you the best of luck, and we're going to hopefully you leave your phone number open to us so we can call you sometime down the line and have you back on the show.
Absolutely, anytime. We'll see you out there in Laverne.
All right, sounds good. See you in Laverne.
Good luck, sir. Thanks for being on the air. That was wonderful, huh?
Very well spoken.
That's cool.
All right, let's get to break and talk to Jared Wickland about pheasant outlook numbers from Pheasants Forever.
Now would be the time to check on the jerky. These smokers aren't going to tend themselves. You're listening to the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Outdoors.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
Lakes Trading Company does it all. Not only do they deal in new and used firearms, they offer on-site gunsmithing and ladies-only classes, and Lakes Trading Company buys gun collections. If you're looking to sell your collection and don't know where to start, Lakes Trading Company buys firearms, accessories, safes, and everything else in between. There's no safer way to dispose of a collection than to work with a licensed firearm dealer. Work with the most knowledgeable staff in the industry. Trust Struman on this one. Go to lakestradingco.com.
Deadshot Custom Call Company is the only duck call trusted and used by the Four Outdoorsmen. Deadshot Custom Calls are handmade in Minnesota and not available in stores because each call has a direct connection to you. Immortalize your hunting dog with the Man's Best Friend series or have a custom image or theme made just for you, whether on your lanyard or on your wall. Deadshot Custom Calls are made from the finest acrylics to last for generations. Customize your call at deadshotcustomcalls.com.
The Home Depot has very good news for your lawn. It's called Scott's Thicker Lawn, and right now, it's starting at $19.98 a bag. Thicker Lawn is a 3-in-1 mixture of seed, fertilizer, and soil improver, perfectly formulated for thicker grass and happier lawn owners. So spread the word and get up to a 50% thicker lawn after just one application. Scott's Thicker Lawn, starting at $19.98 a bag, and it's now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Selection varies by store.
Duralast batteries are proven tough to perform in temperatures of 140 degrees and 40 below zero. Because when you can start in extreme conditions, you can start in everyday conditions. Like running late for work, a broken alarm, creepy parking spots. Duralast, proven tough and only at AutoZone. Visit any of our 5,000 locations nationwide and let's get you what you need.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-749-2984. 800-749-2984. 800-749-2984.
Hey, we're back in the Four Outdoorsmen, and Mark Lukey, producer Mark over there, has got to do a couple of shout-outs before we get to our next guest.
Well, this is a first. I'm going to give a shout-out to a guy that's on the phone. Jared Wickland sent in a picture, said, "Let's talk birds, healthy brood in North Metro," or we're ready to talk with Jared about that pretty soon here. We have a shout-out from John Marshall. He says, "Shout-out to these two young men for finishing 10th. At state for the TBF Junior Division, Caden Marshall and Ty Eiten for Cambridge Isanti. Congratulations, guys." And Brandon Bistoto sent a picture of a lovely lady with a giant walleye. So thank you, everyone, that sent in your shout-outs this week. There's a lot, so that's great. And let's get to our next guest, Jared Wickland. Jared, are you there?
I am. Drew, Boomer, Lukey, how you guys doing?
Every day's a gift, buddy.
I'm doing good, buddy, because I got my trucker's hat on from Pheasants Forever that makes these guys just jealous.
Yeah, I'm glad we could get you hooked up with one of those. It's a It was a pretty spectacular hat selection we had at the state fair. So it looks good on you, too. So
thanks.
That's most important.
Thanks, buddy. Are you taking credit? Did you do all the design work on all the PF hats, too?
I wish I could take the credit, but no, that was not me.
Well, I tell you what, buddy. We just had Governor candidate Tim Walz.
Yeah,
on to
yes,
talk
sir.
About a few things, and we asked him about the CRP and the acquisition. In fact, Stru stole my question. You texted us both, but that was okay.
He's really sorry. He's really salty about that.
I guess he is.
I felt good. I like had this all planned with Jared to sound.
That's the fourth time you've mentioned that in about 20 minutes.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Hey, Jared,
so
he felt
how
good.
How do you think he did on it, Jared? What were your thoughts on that?
You know, I Representative Walz has always been a champion for CRP and for public lands. He is a hunter, but I certainly appreciated his comments on creating a win-win situation, whether that's in Minnesota or elsewhere. I think Minnesota is unique in that we have a lot of outdoor opportunities in this state for outdoorsmen and women and hunters and fishermen. And, you know, this is a state where it can be a win-win. We can have our cake and eat it too. We can be the most agriculturally productive state in America, yet we can still have all the pheasants and ducks and deer and healthy wildlife and healthy fisheries to go along with it. So I think that was a strong message from him, and I'm guessing that probably resonates well with your listeners. But, when it comes down to crunch time, we hope that we can have those folks stick to their guns when they get into office. And, you mentioned Governor Dayton a little bit, and, I think in a lot of ways Governor Dayton has been a real champion for pheasants forever, for pheasant habitat, for healthy wildlife habitat in our state and fisheries. And I think he's done a pretty bang-up job while he's been in office. So hopefully we can continue that with the next governor of Minnesota, whoever that might be.
Hey, Jared, Struman here. Thanks for being on the 4-Hour Outdoorsman, of course. But I'm going to send you over to Mark. But before I do,
I don't have anything, Stru.
Yes, don't you have anything at all?
No.
Nothing at all? All right, I'm going to put you over to Mark and put him on the spot. But I want you to stay still because you're cutting in and out a little bit. So stay still wherever you are and talk right into your phone. Mark, go ahead.
Well, Boomer, you were going to talk about the numbers. Let's talk about some pheasant counts. That's what we're all here for.
Yeah, yes, sir. I think upland hunters, whether you're in Minnesota or surrounding states, can look forward to a stronger year than what we've experienced last year. Last year, we had a drought that started in both of the Dakotas, came over to Minnesota, down to Iowa, and that really put a hamper on some numbers. But from 2017 to 2018, the August roadside count for Minnesota increased 19%, for South Dakota increased 47%.
Wow.
For Iowa, increased 39%, and North Dakota was down about 2%. But, give or take a few percentage points in there, they're about even from last year.
You know, so, Jared, you're talking about all the increases. Pheasants index is up 19% statewide, and it sounds, this is. But then if you look at the overall numbers, we're still, 52% from long-term average. 19% doesn't get me excited at this point, I guess.
Yeah, I think you got to keep it in perspective too. Is that the counts are basically averages from what they're seeing on the road. I mean, that doesn't account for all the birds in the state. When you look at numbers from the last 10 years, it was only 10 years ago, and you guys probably remember this when Minnesotans shot almost 750,000 birds in the state in 2008.
Yeah.
Since that time, we've lost a lot of grass, and that's the reason why pheasant counts haven't quite rebounded like we'd like to see them. The efforts of the DNR and Pheasants Forever and our partners right now in the state of Minnesota, Pheasants Forever is averaging 4,000 acres of public land acquisition per year, which's a pretty incredible number. We've done 52,000 acres. Probably when I get new numbers back for the fiscal year, we'll probably be more in that 55 or 56,000 range. But, 52,000 acres as it sits right now of land acquisitions that are available to you guys and to myself and all Minnesotans to go out and hunt. So I think that's a pretty incredible legacy here in the state. And we don't have any intent of slowing down on that anytime soon.
Hey, Jared, it's Mark here, and I have a question. And in Minnesota, we kind of have a unique problem where A majority of the birds are in the southwestern part of the state, and that happens to be the best farmland that you could possibly have. So,
yep.
So wherever, you know, wherever we really need those fields is where the land is most valuable. What ways can we kind of work to improve, you know, getting more land in southern and western Minnesota? Is it trying to utilize the land that isn't ideal for farming, or working with those farmers to get part of their land to use for habitat? Or how can we kind of solve this problem where the most valuable land is the most valuable for pheasants and farming?
That's a hell of a question.
Thanks.
You bet.
Yeah, no problem. That's a great question. You know, I think Representative Wall is kind of keyed in on it a little bit is focusing on the marginal ground. And I don't care if you're in western Minnesota, southwest Minnesota, you know, northwest Iowa, where you've just got, $20,000 per acre farm ground, what it was just a couple years ago. There's room for wildlife habitat. Yeah. on every single farm in Minnesota. And I think, you know, looking at not so much all the acres in total, but, you know, going down and looking at the square foot by square foot is something we're doing now. It's called precision agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's something that's really starting to resonate with landowners and producers and farmers. That's where we go in and identify those areas where they've had consistent losses for years and a lot of money down the drain trying to plant a wet area or maybe an area next to a stream. And that's where we can come in, Pheasant Forever, and our partners and say, hey, here's a great scenario for you. You can enroll this 4, 5, 6 acres here into a diverse pollinator mix, which is good for pheasants and all sorts of wildlife and water quality. And you can reallocate that capital to your other areas, your other fields that are much more productive. So I think that the key there is just knowing that there is room for wildlife habitat on every single farm in Minnesota and throughout the country. And being able to work with landowners and have our biologists come in and meet with them one-on-one and help explain those types of situations, I think is getting us more acres on the ground. And the other part of it, too, is, you know, you want to see more habitat and more wildlife in certain areas. There's a lot of great landowners and producers and farmers out there that are doing good things already. Here's a great example. I hosted a Birds and Brews event in Stillwater the other night at Liftbridge Brewing Company, and I had an individual come up to me and said, you know what, I've got land enrolled in CREP, and just based on our conversations here tonight, he said he had just shy of 100 acres that he is going to be donating a portion of it to Pheasants Forever. It's already in a conservation easement. A portion of it to Pheasants Forever. We turn around and do any updates that need to be done on that property. And then we turn it over to either the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service or the DNR to make a public area. And I think that's really how things happen. It's coffee table conversations with folks, getting to know folks, creating a personal relationship, and then using that to basically try to find more land and try to do the right things for landowners in those certain parts of the state.
Hey Jared, I have a question for you about, you know, now there's a rule, I still believe it's in effect, where farmers have to have a buffer zone in between running water.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that has, I mean, that was intended for cleaner waters, but do you think that's had a positive impact on the pheasant count for this year? Or do you think that's any way involved in a little bit higher numbers?
You know, I think it does, because in total that was just over 100,000 acres that might have been put into grasslands, and there's some really high rates in certain counties where you know, success rates of putting that program in, it's really working. And I think, you know, most landowners, I know all landowners want to do the right thing, and we've got programs that help them create those buffers, and you know, it's kind of going back in an existing law that was there for a long time. It's being enforced now, and buffers can be a really good thing if they're wide enough,
yeah.
But they can also be a trap for pheasants too. If they're not wide enough, it makes it really easy for predators to follow those lines and wipe out nests. So it's good and bad, but for water quality, it's great, and I think wildlife habitat
It's very additive for the state, so that's we were happy to support it.
Cool.
Hey, Jared, we got about 3 minutes left with you before we wrap things up. Thanks again for joining us on the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country. Jared Wicklund, the marketing public relations guru with Pheasants Forever. Quick recap, South Dakota pheasant count is up 47%. Iowa's up 39%. Minnesota's up 19%. Jared, to tie it back home here to Minnesota, are there any particular big project or projects that are going on that we should know about that you want to talk about tonight?
You know, right now we've always got land acquisitions going on. I'm going to be posting on two of them coming up here shortly. Okay. We've got two great land acquisitions out in the western side of the state that are going to be open for public access this fall. So folks can watch for those. I'll be writing press releases on them or publishing them, I guess, probably in the next 3 weeks here. But, you know, I think whether it's Minnesota or some of those other states, we just completed a 1,000-acre land acquisition in Kansas. We just completed just shy of a 400-acre land acquisition in Montana. And like I said, we're averaging about 4,000 acres per year right here in the state, plus another 8,000 to 10,000 acres of management on public areas that are already existing. So we're working through the list. There's going to be some great opportunities this year. If you live in the metro region, I've seen more broods at my place and in the North Metro than I have in the 4 years that I've been up here.
Hey, Jared, I'll tell you what, you got about a minute and a half here. I was reading something when I was doing research for the show, and something about that I was not aware of, that you guys are doing some radio collaring of some pheasants. Talk about that program for about a minute or so.
Yeah, no problem. We're working with the DNR down in the Southwest to radio collar hen pheasants, study their movements, and find what they like as far as nesting habitat goes. The results of that study are going to be out, I believe it's going to be next year because it was a three-year study, and they're really focusing on trying to find what's the right habitat concoction that's best for producing pheasants. We're getting a lot of great information out of that, and folks are going to be able to read more into that once that report is fully published. But learning a lot of great things about what diverse habitat can do. And I think pollinator habitat this year in Minnesota, Iowa, and elsewhere has really been beneficial to helping pull numbers up, even though we got torrential rains in some spots.
Cool.
Jared, can you put some really heavy ones on a few roosters for me so I can so I can actually hit them this year?
Slow them down.
Yeah, maybe a 5-pound weight or something. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I tell you,
no problem. I'll get right on.
Well, Jared, we're gonna let you go, but real quick, get your contact information out there for Pheasants Forever if more people want to get involved.
Yeah, www.pheasantsforever.org. If people are wondering where they need to go this year to hunt pheasants, there's a lot of great opportunities, not just in the Southwest. You can call us at 651-209-4953, and I'm happy to talk people through the season.
Hey, Jared, I thank you very much for being on the Four Outdoorsmen, and thank you for what you do with Pheasants Forever. I'll tell you what, all of the outdoorsmen in the state of Minnesota and women really appreciate what you guys do.
Thanks, Jared.
Thanks guys.
Take care, buddy.
Hey, what a great show tonight, huh?
Now, if the DNR is purchasing a lot of land, are we going to get more hunters then, you think? That's the hope?
Well, here's the hope, though. The reason Pheasants Forever is so important, it's making sure that to a lot of people, it's not only the experience of hunting, but it's having some success with it. So with more land, better habitat, we should have a higher success for pheasant hunting. And you know what else I got to tell you, Stru?
What's that, buddy?
Get outdoors.
You got it.